If you turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning. In Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 26 and read down through verse number 38. For the next few weeks, during the month of December, I want us to cover these verses here in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter number 2. We're going to skip, for sake of time, the first 25 verses of Luke number 1, but you need to know that that's the account of the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, and that's also very important in the entire story of Christmas, not the birth part of that, but Christmas goes on past the birth of Jesus, as we know, into his life. So we'll begin reading this morning, Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning that you do, through the power of your word, what I cannot. Ask you to bless the hearing today. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. We thank you for this record of the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the example we see in Mary here and her humility. Help us to take these things today and apply them in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to talk to you today on the subject of the birth announcement. I don't know that we do that anymore, send out formal birth announcements. Do any of you do that? Is that still a thing? Do people do that? We never did. We had three children. We'd just tell people. We didn't actually send out birth announcements. We would always announce it in church, I guess. But this is exactly what we get here. And you need to think of it from heaven's sense, a formal birth announcement from heaven sent by, through the angel Gabriel unto Mary, this mother, or would-be mother, to say to her, you're going to have a son. And it's not going to be any son. It's going to be the Son of God. And his name will be called Jesus. Now, we don't do that, you know, the formal announcement as much anymore. But we do have our traditions as far as it goes with having babies and bringing babies into the world. I remember we've had our first baby, Jack. Some of you know him. He's not a baby much anymore, is he? He asked me last night. I had toted Thomas, you know, little bitty Thomas, 2 years old, to the bathroom to have his bath. And then Henry, of course, who's six now and all arms and legs and very tall but very thin and easy to tote still, said, Dad, tote me like you toted Thomas. I said, okay, fine. So I toted Henry. And then it was Jack's turn. He said, tote me. And I said, oh, man. I said, what do you weigh these days? He said, 120. I said, well, I can probably get you about halfway there, you know. But he's a big boy now. But when we were newly married, we were very much, very young, and we were going to have this baby, and we went for this visit to see if it were a boy or a girl, right? Now, believe it or not, I was hoping for a girl. I had already had this whole plan in my mind and had all this idea that, you know, we were going to have a girl. And anyway, I just had all these ideas. And so it was a boy, and of course, the lady who did the ultrasound, she said, oh, you must be excited. You're going to have a son, you know, and I was happy to have a son. So we had the video of this ultrasound, and we had heard about having a party. So we had all our family come over, and actually we were at Dad's house, and we were going to show the video, and everybody put in their guess, is it a boy, is it a girl, you know, and do the whole big thing. So I'm setting up the TV, and I got everybody around the TV there on the couch, you know, and I'm up front. And you know how when people are in front of you, the buttons don't seem to work right. And I was having technical difficulties, so I was trying to talk my way through this thing. And I said, all right, now, just a minute, this is going to come on, and y'all need to see if you can guess what he is. That's how I said it. So I ruined the whole thing, you know. But anyway, and in fact, it's so bad that I didn't even pick up on that I had ruined it. And that my wife had to inform me that you said he. And I said, oh, okay. So that's how, that was our birth announcement. Ours, you know, these days we may not do it formal, but this birth announcement that we read here this morning was very formal. The angel Gabriel himself comes and speaks to Mary. And we know that this is a great surprise to Mary. We read in verse number 34, as she says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's not married yet. She's never been with a man. And she says, how can I be having a baby? But 6 months, whether Mary was aware or not, after the announcement of the birth of John, we get another birth announcement. Jesus would be born to Mary and Joseph. And surely this would be a time for rejoicing. Right? There's going to be a new baby. That always brings smiles to faces. Or should. I hope it does. But this one's special because this is going to be the Savior of the world. But at this moment, in Mary's life, and soon in the lives of her family, and in her future husband's life, it wasn't going to be that simple anymore. While it should be exciting and a wonderful birth announcement, this came as a shock. And today we're going to see Mary faced with a very difficult time in her life. We'll also see exactly how she handles this difficult time surrounding Jesus' birth announcement. So let's begin and look together at what I've just called the surprise. All right, surprise! Maybe some of you wives have had to have that talk with your husbands before, and my wife to me, you know, three different occasions. Surprise! This is good news. Look at verse 28, 29, and 30 with me again. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. This angel really gives Mary a good report. He says in verse 28, You're highly favored with God. And that's good. An angel comes down from heaven, from God, and you're aware of who he is, and he says to you, Now, put yourself in Mary's shoes as we go through this morning. If I go home today, go back to my room, get out of my suit and get ready to go have my lunch, you know, long hard day of church and shaking hands and talking to everybody, you know, and all this, and tired and ready for my nap, ready to eat and then take my nap, you know, got very carnal things on my mind, and there stands an angel from the Lord. Now I'm not thinking he's coming to me to say, whoa, in my mind he would say, Brother Chance, right? Hello, preacher. I'm not thinking he's going to come to me and say, You did so great today. God sent me down from heaven just to tell you what a wonderful person you are. No. If an angel's standing there for me today, I'm thinking, Am I about to die? Is this the end? You know, what did I do? Right? But here's Mary, and she gets good news. And this angel comes to her and says, You're highly favored. Well, that's wonderful. He says, The grace of God is with you. And soon she's going to learn that she's been chosen to bear God's Son into this world. Now, I want to note this morning that this is not due to any special worthiness on Mary's part. Rather, she's simply highly favored in that she has been chosen to be used. So have all of us. Worshiping Mary is idol worship. Now, we recognize that Mary did a great task from the Lord, but she's not to be praised, she's not to be worshiped. God only shall be worshipped, and he said that himself. You shall have no other gods before me. Me only shall you worship, God says. So Mary gets some good news here. She's found favor with the Lord. Verse 28 says, The Lord is with you. God's mighty power would be upon Mary, and she would need it for the task she was about to go through. Verse number 30, he says, You found favor with God. She had not done anything to gain favor, but Almighty God in his sovereignty has shown favor upon Mary, and all of mankind for that matter. Because not only would Mary be able to complete a great task for heaven's sake, but through this would come Jesus Christ, our Savior, a great gift to all of the world. So we see some good news. And then in verse 29, we see that Mary is troubled. She doesn't know why this angel is coming. She doesn't know why he's here, and she no doubt wonders why he has come and why he speaks so highly of her. What do you think when someone comes to you and begins to speak flattery? You know the whole thing. If it seems too good to be true, probably is. I've never found the it's not yet. We say it probably is. We probably should just say it really is. But anyway, we say it's probably because there's a hint of optimism in us all, I guess. My thoughts would be, why is he buttering me up? If he needs to come to me and say all of these nice things, what's coming next cannot be so good. Have y'all ever been called into the office to get in trouble from the boss or be fired? You know, you can always tell you're about to be fired. Evidently, I've been there. And they tell you all how wonderful you are. What a great asset you are to the company. How things just aren't the same if you're not around, but, right? But we're going to have to let you go. Or, but there are being cutbacks, or whatever it is. So if I'm here and I'm married and I'm hearing these things said about me, I'm thinking, what's coming next? You know how the sandwich theory works. When you got to tell somebody something bad, it's like making a sandwich. You give them the bread, then the meat, then the other piece of bread. And I even throw mayonnaise in there for them. So you give them the bread, something really good. If you don't know this, you should operate this way. You got to tell me something real bad. Give me something real good at first, then a little mayonnaise, something a little even better. And then give me the meat. Tell me something that's really bad. And then give me the other slice of bread. Give me something that's kind of good, too, there to kind of put the bad right in the middle of things. And I'm thinking, if I'm married, this is exactly where I'm feeling here. You know, guys, it's kind of like when your wife comes home from shopping. And the only thing, you don't care what she bought. I mean, you do, but the first thing on your mind at that moment is what? Only the lady said that. None of the men said that. All us men were going to just say how happy she was that we sat home with the children. Right, men? Wasn't that what we were going to say? See, ladies, y'all think too poor of us. But let's assume you ladies are right, and that is what we're thinking. Ladies, you come home and you say, now, before you see what all I bought, you know, the bags behind the back, before you see what all I bought, before you ask me how much I spent, what do I want to tell you? Oh, that's even better if you got me something. But I want you to know how much I saved today. Now, if you look on my receipt here, down at the bottom, while I did spend this large amount of money, I did also say, you saved $39 today, you know. My problem with that is when they say, you know, you saved $20 in this store today, well, I'm going to get something else. The thing I put back, I can afford it now because I saved $20. So Mary gets this news, and she gets a big surprise, and amazingly, Mary does not respond like most. She doesn't say, why is he buttering me up, or why all the flattery, or what's the bad news coming after this. Mary was just very humble and honest before God. Mary's mentality simply becomes, why me? How am I different than any of the other Jewish girls that God could use here? Why me? So we see the surprise. Verse 31, notice that with me. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now the angel fills Mary in on the purpose of his visit. You're going to have a baby. Not only are you going to have a baby, but this child is going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He will sit upon David's throne. He will reign as king forever. Do you guys like surprises? I don't like surprises. Have y'all seen this commercial where the guy's on his cell phone talking to his credit card company, and he's walking down the hall, and the guy from the credit card company says to him, yeah, we don't want to surprise you with anything. We'd like to keep you informed. And he's confident about how well informed he feels by his credit card company and how he does not like surprises. And then he opens his door and walks into his house there, and there's a surprise party waiting on him, and they scream, and he screams. Have y'all seen this commercial? I love this commercial. I'm like that guy a little bit. I do not care for surprises. I like to have a well-formed plan. I like to have things thought through, you know. So if you're going to plan me a surprise birthday party, can I sit in on the and on the organizational side of it, all right? But many times in life, we're going to encounter surprising situations. If we were prepared for what was waiting for us tomorrow, well, then it wouldn't be tomorrow, would it? It wouldn't be a surprise. It would just be part of the plan. But that's not life, is it? In life, we're going to encounter surprises. If we already knew the bad news the doctor was about to give us, or if we already knew the company was going to let us go, if we already knew that the child was going to get sick or our spouse was going to get sick, if we already knew, and you fill in the blank of all of the things that many times in life we wish that we already knew, if we already knew those things, there'd be no surprise at all. While this is surprising to Mary, we need not forget this is God's plan. It had been His plan all along. There are no surprises for God. See, He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He has foreknowledge. He always has been and He always will be. So nothing ever happens that He's not aware of. There's no surprising for God. So this is a surprise on earth, but it's no surprise for God. Next, we see the situation. Now, to us, it has become a celebrated situation. One of the tenets of our faith is the virgin birth of Christ. We're proud of this. But to Mary at this point, she was facing a miraculous virgin birth, but this was not a very wonderful thing for her. See, for us to encounter a miracle in this day and age, we're so thankful and we're so glad. You say, I've got this disease and I need a miracle to be healed. And then you go to the doctor and they say, we see no trace of it. And you think, I'm healed and how wonderful this is. But if you all study miracles in the Bible, many times for the miracle to come, there also had to come a great trial or a great suffering or a great pains, or it wasn't that easy. We like it just like that, but it wasn't always that easy. Many want the miracle, but they don't want the mess that comes to get the miracle. Mary was facing a miraculous virgin birth. It was prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 17, verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. It's recorded by Luke here in verse number 27. It says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And it was declared by Mary in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? So Mary had never been with a man, but she's going to have a baby. While this would be a miraculous birth, explaining this and having others believe her would be even more miracle. We glory in the fact that our Savior was born of a virgin. But can you imagine being Mary? Can you imagine having to explain to your parents that an angel spoke to you? How convenient, right? Teenage girl going to the parents saying, I'm with child, but don't worry about it. It's from God. Yeah, that's a good excuse, isn't it? Of course it is, Mary. Who have you been seeing? You know you're a spouse to Joseph. How would you explain God had chosen you for this magnificent task? As humble as Mary is, for her to go and explain that to anyone, that doesn't seem very humble, does it? Family, I've gathered you all here together tonight because I just want you to know that I've been chosen by God to bring His Son into the world. Well, that sounds pretty full of themselves, doesn't it? See, somebody comes and says that to you. If I see preachers or people on TV, you know, I've got a word from the Lord tonight, you know. This didn't suit me very well. Now, I stand before you every Sunday and say, I've got a word from the Lord. But you all know that I'm saying I've just got God's word in my hand and I'm going to share it with you here this morning. I've not had some special revelation from on high or anything like that, right? Right. Okay. You all know that's where we are here. Amen. Hey. Amen. Thank you for that confirmation. I needed it right then. But what a difficult thing for Mary. She's not only facing the shun of her family, public ridicule, but she's facing breach of her engagement. She was recently espoused to Joseph. Now, we would say engaged these days, and kind of the same thing, except in an engagement, you know, he asks her and she has to say yes, and there's a ring given, and it better be a good one, right? Amen? Girls, if you're getting in this situation, check the ring out before you say yes. The guy can't even get a good ring. You don't want to marry him. I mean, it's not about the money, but the money helps. Amen? Amen. Ladies, come on. We just talked about y'all going shopping. Kind of the same idea, except it wasn't Mary and Joseph who met and exchanged the gift. It was Mary's daddy and Joseph who met. And he said, hey, I got a nice daughter over here. Would you like to marry her? Yes, I'd like to marry her. And he'd say, well, let me see your bank account. Let me see what you have in house in mind for her. And by the way, we're going to need a dowry. We're going to need a nice, large gift because our family is losing a worker and your family would be gaining a worker. That's kind of how things happen. Well, this has already happened. Joseph's family has already paid a sum of money to Mary's family. There's already been a formal contract arranged for this marriage. things were set in motion outside of Mary's control. And the only thing she had to do was be prepared. And in being prepared, that means she kept herself pure until the day of her wedding. Now, this is a 13 to 15-year-old girl with little to no say in this contract. And any intimate contact with anyone during this period of engagement would be considered adultery. Breaking this engagement was considered divorce, and not divorce like you and I have here today. Adultery, divorce, these are all very punishable crimes. Mary was going to have to soon share with Joseph that she was with child. So would you concur with me this morning that Mary's facing a very difficult situation? I mean, I get tasked with things sometimes from the Lord that aren't even in the ballpark of what we're talking about here today. And I still had the whole, why me, Lord, scenario, you know. I had to sweep the parking lot or something, you know, just something real silly. And I'm thinking, oh, woe is me, Lord. Why am I having to do this, you know? And here's Mary with this impossible situation before her, facing charges, facing breaking off her engagement, facing shun from her family. But knowing that this is a thing sent by God, what a hard place. She knew, though, what she had seen and heard. She knew exactly what God wanted her to do. How He expected her to do so was the big problem. Many times in life, we know what God wants, but we struggle with how it is that we're supposed to do what He wants. Well, the thing for us to remember is the what is our part. The how is His part. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Now, this is what Mary was aware of. You see, we don't just see the surprise and the situation in our text today. We also see the surrender. Verse number 38, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary received a big surprise. Mary was forced into a difficult situation, but Mary entered this time in her life with great surrender. Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm sure she didn't have all the answers right then. In fact, we know that she didn't have all the answers right then. I'm sure she wasn't certain that this was all going to work out. But in faith, she accepted this task from the Lord. In faith, she accepted this surprise. In faith, she accepted this situation. And in faith, she surrendered herself to God's plan. Let me ask you this morning, are you surrendered to God and His plan in your life? What does God task you with? What does God put on you that's hard? Are you surrendered to God's plan? Surprises are going to come. Whether we like them or not, whether we want them or not, whether we just had one last week or not, another one is coming. There is a situation coming that you don't want to have to deal with. We only break under the stress of surprises and situations when we aren't surrendered to God's plan. When we surrender, God is in control of what happens. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. Verse 37 is our hope here. As the angel says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." You may be in a tough spot today and thinking, "This is too hard for me to handle." I'd simply say to you, surrender and let God handle it. It is too hard for you to handle, but it's not too hard for God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, wonderful words were spoken. As the question is posed, is anything too hard for the Lord? Would you answer that question for me this morning? Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
Nothing at all. Your situation may seem impossible to overcome or to get through. Surrender and let the God of possibilities work for you. Matthew 19:26 says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." After all the angel said to Mary, he finally said, "With God nothing shall be impossible." And this was the turning point for her. We let this be the turning point for you. Will you surrender your impossibility to God? Will you pray today, "God, be it unto me according to thy word"? Let's have a time of prayer. If you'd bow your heads, close your eyes, we're going to play a song. Will you surrender this morning? We get so involved in our surprises in life. We get so involved in the situations that we face in life. And many times we miss the fact that we simply need to surrender. And God will work things through for us. As we pray this morning, you may be in the middle of a really tough situation. Come to this altar this morning. Bow on your knees before Almighty God. Humble yourself before Him as Mary did. And say, Father, I'm surrendering this thing to You. It's too big for me. It's more than I can handle. And I'm giving it over to You. And I'm going to trust that in my situation and with this surprise, that You can handle it. Can't make it to this altar this morning. Pray there in your seat. But let's all pray together right now and say, God, I surrender myself to You.